Thank you for downloading the latest podcast from the Canada-Europe Transatlantic Dialogue, housed at Carleton University in Ottawa. The interviewees were in conversation with Helen Morris. For terms of use, please refer to the publication section of our website at www.carleton.ca/Europe Cluster.
David McLaughlin, President and CEO, National Roundtable on the Environment and the Economy.
Could I ask you, first of all, how can Canadian policymakers reconcile environmental guarantee with a desire for industry certainty?
I don't think it'll be ever perfectly reconcilable, but we have to try for two reasons. One, the climate science is telling us that the physical impacts of climate change are going to be something that are going to face a new generation, and these impacts aren't going to go away. We can't wish them away. So we have to find a way to start to reduce the amount of carbon that we're putting in the atmosphere. So that imperative is there. That's the environmental side of it. But the economic side of it is just as important. And it's not just about a cost to business or to industry or to consumers. It's about some new opportunities in a low-carbon world that we're heading towards. And part of the work of the roundtable is to look at how can Canada seize this opportunity from both an environmental and an economic sense so that we can prosper in a new global low-carbon transition.
You talked about the diverse impact of carbon pricing on different Canadian regions and also industry sectors. Are there useful lessons for Canada in looking at European experiences with their diverse regions and sectors, either things which have worked or equally approaches which really haven't worked for the Europeans?
There are absolutely lessons. The European Union is a federation. It's a federation of member states. And the interesting learning for Canada as a federation with a federal government and provincial governments with shared responsibilities for environment, energy, natural resources, the interesting thing about looking at how Europe has done is how they've progressed over time. They didn't impose it all right away. They found ways to bring poorer countries along. They found ways to bring sectors that were trade exposed and carbon exposed to bring them along so that they weren't automatically out of the gate hit with some of the changes for the European trading system and a carbon price. So it's very instructive for Canada with regions of different economic strengths and different economic opportunities, where the energy and emission mix is happening in Canada. As a federation, I think we can learn a lot from the way that Europe did it and how business and how consumers and how governments came together to A, address climate, but B, start to impose a carbon price in the right way to make it economically viable and cause the kinds of emission reductions that we're starting to see. We will do it differently in Canada, but I think there's something we can learn.
How important is carbon pricing in reducing emissions, and what other tools are also required?
The research and policy work of the National Roundtable on the Environment and the Economy has very much been focused on the importance of having a carbon price. You need to have a price throughout the economy in order to incent the kinds of behavioral changes by consumers and investment changes by business in new low-carbon technology. So it's absolutely central to having the kind of shift in behavior and the shift in results that we need. All of our research has shown that if you put a price on carbon, you will start to get the technology deployment and development that's needed. You will start to see emissions come down, and you'll start to see different kinds of economic growth and opportunity. So it is very, very important. But it's not the only thing. And again, our research and policy work has shown that there's a regulatory side to this as well. Think about cars and tailpipe vehicle emissions. Think about new energy efficiency standards. Think about building codes. Those things are all the regulatory side. And so you really do need a mix, but the central piece has got to be a price on carbon.
Can you tell me what are the biggest challenges to developing a policy in Canada to reduce emissions, and how can these challenges be overcome?
Well, I think the biggest challenge is the sense that it is not as urgent as we may have first thought, that somehow the climate science is not settled, that perhaps the impacts are not as bad as we thought, or we shouldn't do something until everybody else does something. These are understandable, but they're not reasons enough to stand back and say that we shouldn't do something. Canada has set targets for emission reductions of greenhouse gases. These are things that we said we will do and we should do. So now the question is, what's the best way to do it. Canada is going to be like any other country. We will want to find the most efficient and cost-effective way to achieve these environmental outcomes in terms of emission reduction. So let's find a way that does it, that works for Canada, that is the most cost-effective, the most efficient, that gets us the most reduction. So I think the biggest challenge remains a sense, not that it'll go away, but we don't have to act as quickly as people thought. The research of the roundtable shows very clearly delay is costly. We will pay now or we'll pay later. Let's get on with it.